Hey there, and welcome to a brand new episode of Radio Free Nintendo, brought to you by NintendoReport.com. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and to my left, Mike Sklenz.
Hello, everybody.
And across the internet in Colorado, Jonathan Metz.
Hi, aloha.
And over in England is our brand new UK correspondent, Greg Leahy.
Hello there, how are we doing?
And you're our second European on the show, so you got to do all you Europeans proud.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm always excited to have accents on the show.
Yeah.
I have a great sense of fraternity with all our European partners, so I'm pulling for them.
You guys all meet on Wednesdays to have brunch, right?
Yep, in the same little town.
Yeah, everyone in Europe.
What kind of fraternity are you guys talking about?
Well, Johnny, you know, it's been a while since you've been on the show, man.
Yeah, I know. There was some... I don't even remember why I missed a couple episodes or something going on, but
our audio exploded for one episode and then you went to Hawaii.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
so there you go. But you're back, and I'm sure you've got tons of new business, right?
I haven't even listened to last week's episode yet. I've got it downloaded, but I haven't had time to listen to it.
Well, it's gold,
so I bet. Yeah, the last episode I heard was Carl's pathetic solo adventure.
Oh, what the hell, man.
Sorry, it just really paled in comparison to what we had all done together that Monday, and then we lost it.
Yeah, that Monday, that was a good episode, too.
Yeah, I know. We had lots of wee condom jokes. It was great.
We did, yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in there. But anyway, so new business. The only thing I've been playing the last week is Zelda Phantom Hourglass, because I bought it before my plane trip out to Hawaii, and I wanted something to play on the plane. I played it on the plane. Well, not on the way back, because I slept the entire trip back. I don't even remember one of the takeoffs. I was dead. Yeah, but I did play it on the way out, and then I played a good bit of it at night before I went to bed every night.
Is it indeed a 7.5?
I don't think in those terms unless I'm actually writing a review and I don't plan to, but I agree with a lot of Zach's criticisms of the game, actually. I think the controls are very cool, but they do have some minor problems, and I would put them probably on the same order of the problems I had with Twilight Princess Wii controls. It's just sometimes you do things and they don't work, and you know, coming from Nintendo, we expect more than that. I mean, the controls are still better than most DS games, but they could be better, and it's just sad that they're not. And then I have to say, I totally agree with Zach on the Temple of the Ocean King. I think it's a mess. I really don't like it at all. I find it really unfun to play through that thing over and over again. Because, I mean, yeah, you get new items and then you go back through the places you were before, and the new items give you some shortcuts through there, but you still have to go through a lot of the stealth action, and you still have to deal with those guys. And the stealth just really is not very much fun at all.
Right.
I'm really not enjoying that part of the game. I like the real dungeons out on the different islands on the ocean a lot more.
Yeah, I remember not really liking the stealth dungeon-esque thing that you had in Wind Waker either. Like, I just don't think stealth in Zelda is usually any good.
It's always in there. They always shoehorn it in.
Yeah, for at least one... and even Ocarina of Time, you've got that thing where you need to get past the guards.
Yeah.
It's always at the beginning, and it's always just kind of shabby.
Yeah, I don't know why they keep doing it.
In this case, it's not just in the beginning, it's throughout the game. In fact, there's more and more of it as you go through, because you go deeper into the dungeon.
Yeah.
And, you know, it going through, you know, if you have like 20 minutes on the hourglass, and you're going to like the ninth floor in the dungeon, and you run out of time down there, and you really can't get any farther than that, then you have to restart over. That's 20 minutes of gameplay that's completely wasted. I mean, you didn't get anything out of it except maybe like a rupee. So it's just frustrating stuff, and it's really not very much
fun. That's really very un-Nintendo, putting a time limit on something.
It is.
Well, they had it in Pikmin.
Yeah, with the first one, anyway.
People bitched about it then, too.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. I don't know. All in all, I'm just really not... I don't feel compelled at all to play Phantom Hourglass.
Like, I do generally like the game. It's just that there are these... I don't know. There's some parts of it that I dislike quite a bit, but I'm plowing through those because I like the rest of it. And I'm almost through with it now, but I don't want to keep talking about that a whole lot. I did get I'm sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say, how would you say it compares with the previous handheld games? Because they're pretty good. I mean, Minish Cap and the Oracle games, I mean, they're very strong. So how does it compare?
Sure.
With
I've played, actually, I only played one of the Oracle games, unfortunately, but I did play one of them. I played Minish Cap, and I played
Link's Awakening,
the original, right, Link's Awakening. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, of those three that I played, only Link's Awakening I can remember anything from. Minish Cap, to me, is totally, it's, I remember it being good, and I had fun playing it, but there's just nothing memorable about it at all. And the same for the Oracle game, really. I feel like the Oracle games were like remixes of Link's Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, there just wasn't anything to stick out. They just weren't that innovative at all.
Yeah, as far as portable Zelda games go, I mean, for me, it's Link's Awakening. I've tried Oracle of Ages, and it just didn't really stick. Not that it's a bad game, it just didn't really feel appealing at the time.
I just feel like they're dungeon packs.
They, you know? Yeah, they really do feel like they're expansions to A Link to the Past.
Ages is a very dungeon pack kind of game, but they're pretty good, very sort of puzzle-oriented sort of dungeon. So it's nice in one sense, but not the full kind of satisfying Zelda experience that you kind of expect.
Exactly. Sure. And I think Phantom Hourglass tries to go for being a more complete experience like the console games, and I like that. And I think it succeeds in some ways, but it's just some of the stuff they did I really don't care for. I mean, I'm really, really excited that they're trying to innovate on the series and do new things, but not all the things that they tried succeeded, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, anything else that you're playing?
Yeah, I just got, it was waiting for me in the mail when I got back, was Mega Man ZX Advent.
Nice.
And I've played it very little. I'm trying to finish Phantom Hourglass before I really get into it, because I don't like to be playing five games at once, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I'm looking forward to it, actually. I played Mega Man 0 and 02 and 04 on GBA. I think I reviewed a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
I did not play ZX last year, although I kind of wanted to.
ZX was pretty good. I reviewed that one, and I thought it was pretty good overall.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to, but it just didn't seem different enough that I just had to go play it.
Right, right.
That's the thing about the Mega Man games, is you can skip two or three games at a time, and that's probably the right pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really samey.
If you play every one, you'll get sick of it.
You're in for a treat, actually, because I was reading on Gaff, somebody who's been playing through the game, and apparently later in the game you get to a few stages that seem like they're straight out of Mega Man 2. Like they're
really?
Like they're designed to be more retro feeling, and even has like the same music and stuff.
Oh, sweet. I'm gonna have to get it now.
Wow. Mega Man 2 is one of my favorite games of all time.
So yeah, if like the level design, all that stuff, just feels like it's straight out of Mega Man 2 from what they said.
Wow. I'm a lot more excited to play it now, actually. Yeah, the front end of it, I played it for like 30 or 45 minutes, and unfortunately in the beginning, there's a lot of heavy-handed story stuff that you have to blaze through, and you know, the story elements in Mega Man games, whoever writes this stuff Abismal. Should just be put to sleep. It's so bad.
He's the same guy who writes the Sonic games.
Oh. Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know who that's an insult to. The guy who writes the Sonic games, the guy who writes the Mega Man games.
Probably a little of both.
I tried to get Mario Galaxy today, but I called EB Games, and they're like, "Oh yeah, it's shipping today, but we're not actually getting it until tomorrow morning." But I've heard a lot of places broke the street date, and they're already selling.
Yeah,
it,
well, so that's the thing, because
I guess I'm going to call Best Buy today and see if I can go get it.
Here's the thing about that, because Best Buy in some areas has already broken the street date. And GameStop's already have the game, because when that demo unit arrived for the kiosk, it didn't come with one game. It was a package. It came in a box. So they got multiple games. So the reason they're holding it back has to be something corporate.
Yeah, well, by the time people hear this show, they won't care
exactly.
Anymore,
they won't
already
care
be playing it. So let's not bitch too much about
but,
all the
funny enough,
snafu.
Oddly enough, I got a call just before we were recording from Evan Birchfield, frantically running around the streets of Oregon looking for a copy of Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, apparently he's tried like 10 retailers or something.
Like, he's been like, dude, I've been to like a dozen stores. I can't find it anywhere. Have they said anything online about where to get it? And I'm just like, go home.
Dude, chill out.
I have to think that Nintendo intended for the game to be available at stores today because it's a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a holiday at which most businesses stay open, but most schools get out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really ideal day to launch a big game like this. So I have to think that they wanted the game to be out today. It's just, I don't know, some of these retailers seem to have different plans.
I don't know. Well, Greg, are you playing anything of serious interest?
Well, you know, as a European game, it's pretty difficult to have anything that you would consider new business, considering everything was at a huge delay.
6 months old business?
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, did you guys, Did you guys like just get Super Paper Mario?
That was in September, but that's still pretty disgraceful. Okay. I think you'd agree. You know, that was like a 5-month delay, and when it launched, it had a bug in it which could actually break the game.
Traded in that game. I traded that game in towards Guitar Hero 3, but I looked at it and I thought, well, it was okay, but I don't think I'm ever going to play it again. It's just too boring.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
No, well, it's with Paper Mario, it's quite sad, because if it'd come out during the really bad sort of drought, I totally would have gone on it, but because it came out like a month before Metroid, I was like, I could wait till Metroid, to be honest.
Right.
At this point, yeah. So that was pretty bad strategy on their part. But no, I mean, I've just finished up Metroid actually a bit ago, on Veteran and going on to Hyper Mode, and yeah, I mean, I was pretty satisfied with it. The controls really do work nicely, and you know, it was still enough of a Metroid Prime game for me.
Apparently.
And other than that, I've been getting busy with Super Mario Bros. 3 on the Virtual Console, which I've never actually played. Ooh, nice. Shockingly enough.
Wow.
Well, what?
We see that there was a tragic story behind all this. That I had an NES in Christmas of 1988, and by 1990, I think the end of 1990, it had broken. And we didn't even get Mario 3 until like 92, like or something. It was something ridiculous like that. But by that time, that had sort of because the NES was broken, we just sold off all the NES games and bought a Japanese Super Famicom. So we were playing Mario World before Mario 3 even came out over here.
Yeah, we were too in America.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's how I'd never really gotten to play it. But yeah, I'm getting into it, and it's pretty good. I like the challenge, actually. It's quite a shock for a Nintendo game going back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and guess what? Mario 3 is actually a lot better than Mario World.
Yeah, so I've heard. Yeah, I mean, so you hear. I mean, I really love Mario World, because that was as the first 16-bit game that I played, that just blew me away. You know, so huge, and you know, the graphics and the sound even at the time were pretty spectacular. But I mean, I guess if I could look at it objectively now, I don't know. I mean, I'll have to weigh it up once I finish Mario 3, but it does seem really good so far.
Yeah, on last week's retrospective show, we were talking, and I think we came to the consensus that Mario World and Mario Bros. 3 are kind of held on the same pedestal for us.
Yeah, they're like the best ones of the side-scrolling ones, at least.
Yeah.
To me, I love Super Mario World. I've played through it a dozen times, but there's something very unsatisfying about the platforming in that game, and the way that you jump on enemies, and the way that, you know, there's a lot of blocks flipping rather than breaking blocks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something very kind of non-confrontational about it, like they're trying to make it a more peaceful, less violent Mario game. I know that sounds strange, but there's just something less satisfying about playing it to me.
I'd agree. It's a lot more explorative. That's kind of, I think, the hook of the game is all the multiple exits, and the, you know, the flying is very sort of comprehensive. Well, there's flying in Mario 3 too, but you know, it does feel more like an exploration kind of platformer than an action platformer for much of it, apart from some of the more difficult levels.
So besides Super Mario Bros. 3, Greg, what are you playing?
Well, like I said, just finished up Metroid and plenty more Virtual Console stuff. I still haven't got 100% on Super Metroid, which is my favorite game ever.
So, is it?
Did you download Magician Lord?
I refuse to download any Neo Geo games because they're all hardcore gimped PAL versions that run slow and bordered and everything.
Well, nice. Well, I think since I don't really have any new business other than Fire Emblem came in the mail. And,
I played.
Carl
gets all his games delivered to my apartment for, I don't know, ease. And
yeah, because the university delivering service is bad.
Not good.
Yeah.
So I was playing. I played the tutorial level of Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn, and I died on easy, which is really pathetic, but I really wasn't caring what I was doing. I just sort of, you know, went through to see how it is, and I immediately turned off, like, the flashy battle sequences, because really, I mean, it's Fire Emblem. I just want to get through it, and
yeah,
I don't see the point of, like, you know, showing, like, a 30-second cutscene that does the exact same thing that a 2-second cutscene on the map can do.
Right. No, I mean, in other words, you know, basically, Mike sucks at strategy games.
I didn't finish Fire Emblem on Game Boy Advance. I got tired of it. Like, it's, I don't know, like, the way I play these games is, like, I guess, you know, clearly not right now because I died on the tutorial, but usually the way I play these games is extremely, extremely conservative because I don't want to lose. Like, I don't, especially in Fire Emblem, because if a guy dies, he's gone for the whole game.
Yeah.
So I play extremely conservatively, and it takes me like an hour to get through one map, and it's just, like, eventually I end up, like, ruining the game for myself because I just take too freaking long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in other words, Mike sucks at strategy games.
I do. I'm too cautious.
He's too cautious. He lost the main character within about 8 minutes.
Oh, brutal. If you lose the main character, though,
you get a game over.
Actually,
yeah,
you have to replay the mission.
Right.
Which is what happened.
And at that point, all you have is the main character and, or at least your starting character. I don't even know if it's necessarily the main character.
Well, I don't know. Like, you know, like I said, I wasn't really paying attention. You know, when I was playing Fire Emblem on the Game Boy, I didn't lose anybody, but I only made it about halfway through the game before I got tired of it.
Yeah, like with Path of Radiance, which this game is endlessly drawn aside to, because it's basically a direct sequel to Path of Radiance. It uses the same engine, the same graphics.
Plays in widescreen, though.
Same characters, even. Like, it has, like, the same main characters from the first game. Or there's some new characters. But basically, all he had was the main character and some girl who gets kidnapped within the first 2 minutes of the game.
She didn't get kidnapped.
Captured.
There's like a rescue command that lets you take someone and move them as one person, but the other person doesn't get moved.
Because she had low HP or something?
I guess.
There's no other reason to carry her.
Yeah. I don't know what I didn't know what I was doing because I'd never seen that command before.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, so since that's pretty much clears us up for new business, let's go on to Mike's crazy mailbag.
Hey, Carl, are you still playing Battalion Wars?
Yes. I just have to get some online play done, and then the review will be up.
So okay. Very short.
Since we were talking about strategy games, do you have any?
I mean, I talked about
late comments.
I mean, I talked about it already in the podcast a few times, but basically,
okay.
You know, but if you haven't caught up on this episode yet, it's basically something like it's action oriented strategy, but mostly action, not that much strategy. I mean, you'd have to be a toddler to be bad at this game. Although I've seen some our old buddy Dan Bloworth, who's now at Game Trailers, was playing with Mike Gammon. And the videos of their matches are actually up on Game Trailers. And Dan creamed Pale.
Nice.
Like, creamed him. It's pretty bad. So if you want to see Mike Gammon doing badly at video games, go to GameTrailers.com.
I know I do.
Yeah. So, yeah, with that out of the way, let's move on to new business. Or not new business, Mike's crazy.
My mailbag question.
Yeah.
Where is my question this week? He says, Reed says, we know how I feel about food, but what's the most awesome beer? I'm actually not much of a beer drinker, but I, if I'm going for cheaper, I really like Yingling. I don't think it's too bad.
Never had that.
I know what you're talking about.
It's all right. I mean, you know, it's like it's cheap and it's domestic. But yeah.
What about you, Johnny?
My favorite beer is Blue Moon.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know you were a girl.
Oh,
pardon.
He likes that with his Zima. No, no.
I really like Belgian wheat ales. And Hefeweizen's okay, but I prefer the Belgian style of wheat.
Mm.
I really like wheat beers, basically. Also like an occasional Guinness, but I couldn't drink like 3 or 4 of them. Yeah. That's for sure.
You.
Yeah. Well, Greg, since you're off in the UK, I'm sure you have lots of interesting beers to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, a little bit of Guinness is fine by me. But not a big beer man, to be honest. Newcastle Brown Ale, that's a fine beer for you.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Well, I am underage, so of course I can't drink. But hypothetically speaking,
if Carl were drinking beer,
if I were to drink beer, hypothetically, I actually hypothetically recently had Hacker Shore.
Hacker Shore is not bad.
And Hacker Shore hypothetically is pretty good.
Yeah, Hacker Shore is pretty good.
Never heard of it.
It's been around for like 600 years. it's a German import, and it's It hypothetically goes down real smooth, and it's still got a high alcohol percentage if you want to get drunk, hypothetically. So
good to know.
Yeah. Moving on to listener mail, not about beer. Jedi Knight 114 says, "Hey y'all, long time listener, first time emailer. Anyway, firstly, you guys kick ass, but enough sucking up." And really, there's no such thing.
You can't have enough of that.
Really can't have enough of that. He's got three questions. One, whatever happened to the fake commercial ads? Some of them were pure genius. Will you ever release a best of or restart making them?
We just got, I don't know, like...
We just stopped doing it because a lot of them were bad.
And it takes a lot of time to, like, you know... And then if it's not ready by the time we need to edit the podcast, then it just doesn't make it
in. It becomes like a scramble to, like, oh, let's just, like... Like, Johnny's Brufus commercials were really good. I like those.
I actually made a Brufus that never made it on the air.
Maybe we'll use it for this one.
Yeah.
It was deemed a little too blue, I guess.
I think I know which one you're talking about now.
Yeah, okay. I think it's pretty funny, but actually, most of the people who listened to it said they just didn't think it was funny as the other two, so they, you know. But I would love to do another one if I have a little time.
Maybe.
And just if there's encouragement from the fan base, then that helps, you know.
I mean, mostly when it comes down to doing commercials, it just came down to me editing the podcast and having to put together a commercial in about 40 seconds. And, you know, that's why you had things like Nintendo World Report haiku reading. what else was there? Just really stupid stuff that didn't need to be in there at all. It was kind of weird.
Speaking of making our podcast, his next question is, what do you use to record your podcasts? The answer to that is we each individually, well, Carl and I record our audio together because we're in the same room, but we each individually record our own audio with a simple audio recording program like Audacity or Audio Recorder on the Mac or something like that. And we send all the files to the editor, so it doesn't. We're not recording the Skype feed because that sounds like crap.
Yeah.
So we each record separately, and we edit it all together with GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we also get all the images and all that other fancy stuff in there.
If you're on the iTunes feed,
yeah.
Not if you're listening to
the chapters
to the MP3.
And the images.
But really, who's listening to the MP3? Who should be listening to the MP3? Nobody.
Yeah, that's Linux people probably.
Linux people, right? So if you can have iTunes, then you can listen to M4As. So you should be listening to the iTunes feed. And lastly, is the date set for Super Smash Bros. Brawl a world launch? Also, do you think Lucas from Super Smash Bros. Is just a Super Smash Bros. Melee NES clone?
It's not a world launch.
No,
it's launching on different days in America and Japan.
Yeah,
for sure.
Japan's getting it like a week or two before us. And as far as Lucas being a NES clone, I mean, we haven't really... None of us have played
Lucas. Well, it seemed from the moveset, it seems almost... You know, they're very similar.
Similar, but...
They've got almost the entire same special moveset, except for... One move is different, but other than that, they're almost the same. I wouldn't be surprised if Ness doesn't show up, because they've already said that they don't really want any clone characters in this game.
So, yeah.
My theory is that almost all the characters from Melee will show up in the game. And I think Ness will be announced eventually, but he'll have completely new moves.
Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you keep Ness the same and just make Lucas with the new moves?
Well, you see, a lot of the moves that Ness had
were taken from other
Melee
characters.
Were taken from other characters in Earthbound, so they have a good chance to really redo him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Ness is my favorite character in Melee.
Is he?
So I'm very interested to see. I mean, I'll be fine with Lucas, but I really hope they put Ness in there.
I remember.
Yeah, he really is my favorite.
He was my favorite in the original because he was just an absolute destroyer.
Yeah, then he kind of got gimped in Melee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but still, I can tear it up with Ness.
I'm a young Link man myself, and I just don't see him coming out in Brawl.
Oh, no, I think he could. I think it'll come show up as more of a Wind Waker type Link.
Yeah, maybe. Definitely. Yeah,
they've still got so many main characters. Like obvious, you know, they still haven't shown Luigi.
I'm guessing. Yeah. I'm really hoping
Luigi will be
mansion.
In the game, and he'll have his vacuum and all that.
If he doesn't have the vacuum this time, I'm going to be so disappointed.
Yeah, he
will.
I'm thinking they might sort of keep a kind of attachment to the old Smash Brothers by having him be secret, even though everybody knows he's going to be in it. But it's just that he was secret in the first one, so he has to be secret again or something.
Right, well, I mean, Brawl already has so many characters, and apparently all the characters that they're showing on the Smash Brothers, the Brawl blog, are starters and not unlockables.
Wow.
Probably.
So, if that's just the starters and not the unlockable characters, that's a lot of characters.
Yeah.
It's insane.
We're already up to almost as many as Melee, not counting the clones.
Yeah, there's something like five, away from having as much as Melee.
God.
Yeah.
So, there you go. But yeah, guys, that actually clears up for a listener mail, but when we come back, we're talking about the news, so stay tuned. And we're back for the news. First up, VC Mondays, volleyball on the NES. Can we say awesome?
No. No, we can't.
No.
Apparently we can't. Then Axelay on the Super Nintendo, which
never
I've heard
of
is
that.
Just... I've heard that's the standout game of the week, where it's actually pretty, pretty good.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, but it's another
shmup.
Horizontal shmup.
Yeah.
I think it has vertical sections as well, where it has... It's very radical to mix the two, I know, but it's got this kind of Mode 7 effect to make it look like it's a curvature to the background. That was very groundbreaking at the time.
Yeah.
So
now we can have games that look as good as Star Fox on the Super Nintendo. Awesome.
That was Super FX chip, not Mode 7, dude.
Ah, you're right. I'm thinking of Mario Kart. Yeah. Okay. And Pilot Wings. And last up on the list, Blue's Journey on the Neo Geo, which is our game that we don't care about this week.
Really? That one? I don't know. I thought that was all of them, really. This is definitely Nintendo knows that Super Mario Galaxy is out this week, so they're not going to bother trying to sell you anything else.
Yeah. Seriously. When are the good games coming on Neo Geo, or do they just not exist?
Well, they've already said they're not going to put the Metal Slugs out because they have that collection disc, so... Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm beginning to think there aren't going to be any good games. Maybe Blue's Journey is awesome, but I told Wendy 2 weeks ago after I downloaded and reviewed Magician Lord, I said, I'm not reviewing any more Neo Geo games for you. I mean it. I'm through with this system. I'm tired of paying $9 for a game that takes 20 minutes to play through and is shitty.
Yeah, I would love to get a Metal Slug game on there, but they're not going to do it because they have that discount. But I don't want to buy 5 Metal Slug games. I just want one.
Hey, Obi, I think the Metal Slug collection is only like $30.
That's too much. I want one game. I just want one. Just pick the best Metal Slug, put it on there. I'll gladly give you $9. I only want to play one of them. I don't need 4 of them. Okay. Five or however many are on that thing.
Maybe it'll come out eventually. Maybe they'll just eventually be like, all right,
eventually they are going to run out of games, so they will have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Moving on to the real news. And this isn't really real news, but whatever.
Yeah, it is. It's news.
Check Me Out channel released.
Yeah, I downloaded this last night. My Wii was tempting me with its blue light saying, I've got stuff for you, and I turned it on for like the first time in a month.
AKA, we know you're playing Super Mario Galaxy.
But I was.
They announced this back at GDC in March.
But it's finally out now.
And it took them this long to bring it out. Ugh. I don't know.
It's kind of like, it was neat for like, 5 minutes to say, oh, look at all the cool Miis that people have created that I haven't seen yet. Like, wow, that Leonard Nimoy one was pretty cool. And,
Well, the weird thing is that when you're looking through the plaza of all the ones that people have submitted, they truncate everyone. They abbreviate the names of the Miis down to 2 letters.
It's not truncated down. When you submit one, you choose the initials for it.
Oh, okay. I didn't actually try to submit one. So so you have to choose. So they're all labeled by initials and not real names. So I saw one in the front row that was CN, and it looked a lot like Chuck Norris. And I thought, oh, that's a good Chuck Norris one. So then I click on it, and I see this option down in the corner that says call friends. I was like, what is that?
I hit
it, and suddenly like 5,000 other Chuck Norris Miis invade the screen. And So I'm like browsing through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Chuck Norrises. And then I did the same. I saw one for MJ, and it was a really funny Mii of Michael Jackson. And I did call friends on that one, and there was some really disturbing Michael Jackson Miis.
Does it just do everyone with the same initials then, I guess?
Yeah, basically. It also does that by features also, because it has like a statistical tracking of the different facial features and everything, so it can find similar ones based on that as well.
Mike's actually going on to the channel right now.
I want to see this now.
He wants to see it, so, okay. Well,
yeah, it's an unintentional source of humor in the channel, I think.
Yeah, I uploaded a couple of mine last night, and my rating is down to like 1 star, and all I did was upload all my Office Miis. Like, really?
Apparently, the Office gets no love on Check Me Out.
Yeah, if you check me out, All
right.
Should do Hello Kitty.
I'm down to no stars. I posted 6 Miis. My most popular is Jim Halpert, and my Mii artisan rank is 0 stars.
Wow.
I suck, apparently.
You suck at Check Me Out.
Yes.
But I think this, much like Everybody Votes, people will kind of semi-talk about for like a month and then get tired of. Oh, that's a really cool Darth Vader.
Yeah, the Darth Vader one's pretty good.
They're doing contests right now. It's Mario without his hat. Although I've seen Mario's with a hat, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're doing contests, and they'll actually send you a message to your Wii when there's a new contest. So that may keep people interested over time.
Yeah, Mike's TV is flooded with Chuck Norris.
It's not Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. He lives under the sea, and he has 8 arms, which he all uses to kick people in the face with. He has 8 legs, and each one has a big cowboy boot on the end of it with blood. Blood-stained cowboy boot.
I'm calling Mr. T's friends right now.
Oh, remember, no. This just
remember,
seems like a bad idea.
Chuck Norris, he doesn't step on toes. He steps on necks, okay?
Oh, my God. You would not believe how many Mr. T's are on my screen right now.
One of them has an upside-down face.
They all pity the fool.
Oh, anyway,
we should really move on. Although,
yeah, let's.
This is actually providing more entertainment than I thought.
Yeah,
That was my point, was just to say there's this weird feature in Check Me Out that you may be more interested in than you thought.
That's so funny.
Check it out.
All right.
Check out Check Me Out.
All right. Guitar Hero 3 on Wii in mono.
Yeah, that's like, apparently there's some sort of glitch, or not glitch, but like just mistake. And
yeah.
Guitar Hero 3 only outputs monoral sound on the Wii.
But the thing is, Wii has Dolby Pro Logic 2.
Yeah.
So it can do.
Which the game supposedly supports,
yeah, but apparently,
not.
Apparently, if you're playing it in Pro Logic 2, you only get audio out of the center channel.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Pro Logic 2 requires a stereo signal in
right.
order to decode.
Yeah.
So it's not gonna understand what to do with a mono signal, and that's why it does that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this just seems really strange and an unnecessary weakness for the Wii version, because it can do surround.
Well, yeah, apparently it's just a total glitch, and a lot of people are surmising that there may be some kind of downloadable patch for it.
Hopefully.
Which would be a first for the Wii, although it's not that much different from downloading WiiWare or firmware updates.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It should be possible, but Activision so far has not said what they're going to do about it, if anything.
It's an interesting situation.
I've played all the way through. I've beaten Guitar Hero 3 now, and I have not noticed.
I don't think, you know,
but
I don't think
I
it would matter
admit,
unless you were doing multiplayer. Because in multiplayer, each player's guitar track is in a separate channel. So you only, if you're standing on the left side of the TV, your audio comes out of the left speaker. So it helps with, you know, who's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's unlikely that you would be playing local multiplayer with Guitar Hero 3 on Wii, because
there's no guitars yet.
I'm not even sure that they're selling extra guitars yet. And so it's more, and you can't use them from other systems. So it's more likely if you've played multiplayer, it would be online. And I don't think it would be a problem for online.
Mm.
So
hopefully they'll
anyway,
get it fixed.
Hopefully
the
they'll fix
out.
It somehow.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Guitar Hero 3, Dragon Force is probably really happy because their song Through the Fire and Flames, basically they've been able to sell 183% more versions of the song since the release of Guitar Hero 3. So,
good for them.
I
guess they're happy.
I had never heard of Dragon Force before this game.
They're like power metal.
You guys?
Power metal?
Power metal.
No,
do they wear
power
costumes?
Metal.
I saw... like they're only
which metal is the one that talks about dragons? Is that power metal? I think it is.
Yeah.
The only thing I could find identifiable about them is their sort of asinine tendency to have a picture-in-picture on their videos so that you can see them, you know, play the solo. It's so incredibly fast, you know, that... they have to show the hands actually on the frets. You know, so we're ridiculously good. You know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
I do know how to shred. That's
I found
sure.
that song to be kind of unpleasant for exactly that reason, because it's basically just, it's just like a 10-minute long solo.
Yeah,
with no, there's no melodic.
Well, it's in there.
It
it's designed
all.
To be, you know, the hardest song ever in Guitar Hero.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I'd say I agree that. I just kind of put the guitar down because it's during the credits. You don't get graded on it. So you don't have to do well on it, and so I just kind of stopped playing it after a while. My hand was already tired from beating the devil.
Nice.
That's a euphemism if I've ever heard it. But,
this is interesting now. The Xbox and PlayStation versions of the game are going to get the Tom Morello song and the Devil Went Down to Georgia as downloadable content for free, because they really should be playable in the game outside of the career mode. But apparently they're not.
Oh.
The Tom Morello thing isn't even really a song,
well,
though.
Yeah.
It's just like the Slash one. It's just a it's a bunch of wankery, but it's supposed to be because it's a battle.
Yeah. But apparently
you know, it's like if you got two guitar players on stage with no band and made them cut heads, as they say, that's what it would sound like. It's not a song,
right.
per se. Now, Devil Went Down to Georgia is, although the version on Guitar Hero 3 is not very good.
Yeah, I imagine, I mean, it's a violin song.
It's a fiddle.
Whatever.
Song,
it's
Carl,
the same.
For shame.
It's the same damn thing.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of guitar in it. Actually, the devil's solo in that song, in the original song, is played on an electric guitar, not a fiddle.
Oh.
Mm. But, well, I should say part of the devil's part is guitar and part of it is fiddle. But there is guitar in the song. But yeah, it's not primarily a guitar song, and they redid it as like a heavy metal cover of it.
Yeesh.
And it's not that great.
Yikes. Well, okay. We'll be looking forward to some new content from Mistwalker, because they're working on a brand new DS game after the release of Ash or Archaic Sealed Heat. They've announced they're working on Away Shuffle Dungeon. Silicon Air
Shuffle Dungeon.
Yeah, Shuffle Dungeon is the name of the game. SiliconAir.com. They used their detector skills and found out that this is going to be a roguelike game, because actually they just released downloadable content for Blue Dragon, and that's called it is a roguelike, this downloadable content. And
what does roguelike mean?
Like, it's like a randomly generated dungeon hack.
Yeah, okay, that's what I assume. Like Shire and the Wanderer or Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon and stuff like
right.
that, Diablo.
Exactly. Yeah. And they basically use their detective skills to find out that since the Blue Dragon DLC is called Shuffle Dungeon Maker, this game will be the same type of playstyle.
Yeah, I heard that Blue Dragon's coming out on DS.
It was a Quarterman rumor that has some validity and is probably going to be true. I would imagine we'll hear about it eventually.
Have we heard about it on Surfer Girl yet?
Not yet. I don't know.
She's got all the connections.
She mentioned Skies of Arcadia the other day, and I was like, yes!
She actually mentioned it again, saying that it is going to be for Wii.
Yes.
Yeah. It's fun to pull things out of your ass, especially if they're likely to be true.
Dude, anyway. I believe that everything she talked about is true, and that she's a girl.
Oh my god, a girl.
Oh.
But she's definitely not a surfer.
No way.
Well, she surfs the internet.
People, you can't surf and play video
games.
It's
impossible.
They're mutually exclusive.
Right. Well, moving on to the most interesting of subjects, the Hitman movie is getting an R rating.
Who cares?
It's coming out like in 2 weeks.
Surely this shouldn't be news, though. I mean, it should just be an R rating. It's only because there was this suspicion that they was going to sort of water it down really badly.
The commercial, like, they try and make it sound all cool, and there's this exchange where he's talking to a girl, and he says, "Where I grew up, they didn't give us names, only numbers." And she says, "What was your number?" And his reply is, 47.
69!
But no, he says 47, like it's supposed to be really fucking poignant, like, and really, like, make him sound like a badass, but it's
right.
just a number, dude.
It just sounds really
just a number. It could have easily been 84 or 69 or anything.
I'll tell you, that's the kind of bullshit that'll be in the trailer that won't be in the movie. Because it wouldn't make any sense.
Square root of 3.
It only works in the trailer for people who know the game, but in the context of the film, it just wouldn't make sense. It'd probably get cut out.
I got the sense from the trailer that there's a lot of weird religious
backstory
to it. Is that from the game, too? I never played the Hitman
games. Throughout the games, there's been a large religious overtone of, like, he has a really close relationship with a priest, and, yeah, there is a lot of that in the games.
Don't we all?
Yeah. A little extra close, if you know what I mean.
I'm not even Catholic. Move on.
Well, speaking of video game movies, the Prince of Persia movie got a director, Mike Newell.
Yeah.
When they said that
he did the Harry Potter pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was
yeah,
the worst
that was
Harry Potter flick.
One of the better ones.
Well, before we start actually talking about
the third one and the fifth one are the best.
Yeah, but the fourth one, Goblet of Fire, I thought the film was absolutely, like, just as a film, not as an adaptation of a book,
good.
As a film, I thought it was piss poor.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, really? You didn't like it? I thought actually as a film it was fine. As an adaptation, it was kind of
rough.
It was
a really bad adaptation on top of that, yeah.
Well, they cut so much from the book, and I realize you have to.
It's such a huge book.
But the things that they cut were important to understanding what the hell was going on.
They cut a good amount of the fifth book out, but it's still, like, they still got the point of Order of the Phoenix across.
Yes, it was done much more intelligently in the fifth movie. The stuff they cut from the fourth movie, what was left, really, I felt kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense.
I don't know.
But anyway.
So yeah, Mike Newell, besides Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, he's also done Four Weddings and a Funeral, as well as the brand new movie Love in the Time of Cholera, which looks like shit. It's got the guy from No Country for Old Men.
There's a lot of guys in that movie.
Josh Brolin.
No, the badass guy, the killer guy.
I'm not sure who I haven't seen that yet, but I want to.
Well, from the trailer, he's the guy who's like, flip a coin or whatever. He's
the
guy who makes
people
flip
coins. He's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy, basically. And yeah, the movie just looks terrible.
You know, I actually, just a quick tangent, but No Country for Old Men, it's based on a Cormac McCarthy book, so you can pretty much guarantee that all of the characters are the bad guys.
Perhaps, yeah. Basically, he also had the statement to make. Mike Newell says that Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, quote, is not a video game movie. He also says that the script is far above such standards.
I wouldn't be
such standard.
I wouldn't be I wouldn't be surprised with that, because Jordan Mechner, the guy who wrote the scenario for Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time, co-wrote the movie, and he knows what he was doing. That game had a superb story.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean,
I'm looking forward to this. I really do think this will be different.
It could. I think it can hold up, but I don't know. With this director, I'm a little worried. I don't think he's that good. I think it would have been better in the hands of almost anybody else who's has an action movie pedigree.
The previous rumor was Michael Bay.
Yeah, well, that would have been much worse.
Well, Jerry Bruckheimer,
I don't think you can make a horse explode, so.
He would have found a way.
Well, I mean, Jerry Bruckheimer is executive producing.
Yeah, so there will be explosions, for sure. I'm worried for this film, and I'm even more worried for it now with this director attached.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be that bad. I think he's a capable director.
Well, I can't claim to have seen any of his films, but I can't help but bear a grudge for helping to inflict Hugh Grant's affable fop routine on everybody in the world.
Well, there you go.
But I think it's a good thing. I think it's about time they actually had a video game film that doesn't just try and bastardize the content into something it isn't, and they're actually, you know, collaborating closely with one of the original creators, so it's in some sense faithful.
Plus.
Well, didn't
absolutely. I mean, well, no. Well, I mean, John Carmack wrote the script for Doom.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
well. No, he didn't.
No,
he I'm just kidding. I was like, although there is a reference to John Carmack in the Doom movie.
Is it Dr. Carmack really? Or something? Rubbish.
Yeah. No. It's
that means you've seen the Doom movie, Carl.
I have seen the Doom movie.
I've also seen the Doom movie.
Wow.
I've seen.
I have not. I disavow.
I saw it at like 2 a.m. on HBO.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, it was a similar time of day for me, actually, so there must be something about that time of day.
I swear to God, I was looking for...
It's not a movie, it's HBO.
I swear to God, I was looking for porn.
And you got The Rock.
And I got The Rock. So, basically there's a doctor. The doctor gets killed off earlier in the film. His name is Dr. Carmack.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. We really should not be talking about
the movie. So let's take a break. When we come back, it's been 1 year since the Wii launched, and we're giving it its own little report card. Alrighty, folks, and we're back. You know, it was almost 1 year ago that the Wii came into retail, and so we're going to go around the room and basically talk about how it's been doing, and give our own little letter grades on the various facets of the console experience. And I'm going to start with the diversity / quality of games. And Mike, I'm going to start with you. What would you give the Wii's diversity / quality of games?
C+.
C+?
Looking at my shelf, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games for my Wii, which I've had for a year, mm-hmm. and 1, 2, 3, 4 games for my Xbox, which I've had for half as much time.
Mm.
And that I think that says something to it, but just the fact that I don't know. There's been like a couple of really standout titles, and then everything else has just been like, you know, lost in a sea of mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. I think most people are going to agree with you on that. It's just that like, and even like, I think there are maybe like a half dozen games on the Wii that are worth paying full price for, and those would probably be, you know, Twilight Princess, Metroid,
soon to be Mario,
Zack and Wiki. And I guess maybe like
Oh, Fox and one now. Of wait to boot one of those 5 games is Wii Sports, which I really shouldn't even include because it came with the system.
You have a case for Wii Sports.
I made one.
Oh, you made one. That's nerdy.
You paid full price for it.
I did. But you know, I didn't actively go out and buy it. Had I not had to take it, I would have paid $50 less and not had the game.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah. You know, actually, I was just thinking. I think if Wii Sports had not come with the system, I wouldn't have bought it. And that would be a shame.
Yeah.
Because I'm glad that I got it.
Right. Yeah, I think that it's really just like a really good game to bring people into the Wii with. And that, you know, the games, Wii Tennis is legitimately fun.
Oh, yeah, it's a blast.
So there you go. So, Johnny, what would you give the Wii's diversity / quality of games?
I think I would give it probably a C+ or a B-. And for me, the problem is not really the quality. I think the quality is typical for the first year of a console. Mm-hmm. For me, the problem is the diversity.
Mm-hmm.
There are way too many mini game fests, and even some of them are very good. You know, I've got WarioWare, and I like it, but there's just no longevity to it at all. Mm-hmm. I beat it in a day, and that was with people, by the way. I'm not a guy who like gets WarioWare and just sat there and beat it all by myself and totally missed the point of the game. But even showing it to people, I took it home for summer vacation, and my entire family played it, and even then we got sick of it within a couple of hours.
Same thing here.
So it is a valid type of a game to create, but you have to come up with a way to make it last a little longer than that. You know, you can't just throw things together and sell it. And I feel like that's sort of what they did with WarioWare, and that's actually one of the better mini game collections. There are tons of other ones that just aren't nearly that good. So that I'd like to see a lot less of. It's sort of like you know, the early DS stuff was pretty weak. Mm-hmm. A lot of really terrible ideas for using the microphone.
Oh, yeah. I think, but like from November until about like July of the DS's first year, it was just pretty piss poor.
Yeah,
and then
it was really bad.
And then once like Canvas Curse and Midios came out, it just got progressively much better.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with me. I didn't buy it until Canvas Curse and Meteos came out. That was the point where I said, right, I need to buy this now. And that was well after it came out.
I didn't play it until then.
There you go.
Yeah, I had my collecting dust.
Yeah. So, Greg, what about you? What would you give?
I think probably, yeah, C minus kind of thing. I agree, definitely the mini games thing is a problem. And, you know, it was probably going to persist because they sell well. I mean, look at Carnival Games. That's just selling far too well for my tastes, to be honest. And even among some of the higher caliber titles like Super Paper Mario, Twilight Princess, and Metroid, they have certain similarities in terms of, you know, the sort of adventure kind of element to them. Mm-hmm. So the diversity, even at the top end, wasn't all that it could have been. You know, we didn't have like a really excellent bona fide first person shooter. An out-and-out shooter, say, for instance, or, you know, I didn't really think any of the sports games were as good as they could have been. You know, Madden, a bit too waggly.
Right.
So, yeah, I'd say also an issue of quantity as well, not just, you know, kind of with diversity. There wasn't enough. I mean, especially in Europe, there was just this huge drought in the first 6 months of 2007, which was just pretty ridiculous. In fact, I think one of the only games apart from WarioWare that we had was Excite Truck, which got delayed from launch for no good reason.
Well, you didn't really miss out on anything there, so don't worry about
it. Yeah, whatever, dude. Excite Truck was awesome.
Hey, you shut the hell up.
I'll have you know, I own Excite Truck, and I like it quite a lot, actually.
I'm eagerly awaiting Excite Truck 2. I really hope it happens.
The thing is, it was such a sort of perfect kind of launch title in terms of, you know, sort of pretty, obviously it's not heavy on content, you know, because they're getting out for launch, but, you know, it's a proof of concept kind of thing, and you've got the SD card sort of compatibility.
It was fast as hell.
Yeah, exactly. It just delivers an experience. It gets you, you know, gets you familiar with one way using the Wii Remote. And I think that was all really great for a launch game. But then when you put it, you know, 3 or 4 months later, I think its relative insubstantial kind of nature shows up a bit more. So I think that was just a terrible decision. And how did that take time to localize? It just doesn't make sense.
It's definitely the Wii's wave race.
No, I was going to say it's kind of the Wii's motor storm. If you're talking about bringing it out a few months later than it really should have come out, and people don't care as much about it, it's more. I mean, I think Excite Truck is very much in the same vein as MotorStorm, and before that, SSX, and even Wave Race, maybe. Yeah, it's like a very, very good racing game. It's not going to last you a long time,
but it's a very good arcade
racing
game.
Fun to play, and it's the kind of thing that holds you over early on in the cycle.
Yeah, I mean, I did pick it up eventually, and it was, you know, it was really good. I did enjoy it a lot, but I just thought it was a bad decision. Which, you know, and like similar with Super Paper Mario, that came out a lot later than it should have done. It ended up sort of coming when you had some good games like Metro coming out, and I think it got buried as a result, really, over the year.
Well, sure, and I'm going to go ahead and agree with all you guys for the various points that you've mentioned and give it a C as well. Moving on to the online plan. This includes, by the way, both virtual console as well as online play, which is why I'm going to give it either a C plus or a B minus, because virtual console for the most part has been fantastic. I mean, I do think the games are still too expensive. I think that NES games should be like $2, Super Nintendo games maybe $5 to $6, and then maybe like $8 or $9 for like for N64 games. But even so, the selection's been pretty good, and we've gotten some import stuff. So for that, if it was just Virtual Console, I think I would give it like a B plus or maybe even like an A minus. But online play has been awful, and I'd probably give that like a D. A, there just aren't that many games that have online play. And even so, you saw the friend code system. No games with voice chat support, even though we've had games with voice chat support on DS. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's a little.
So yeah, as far as online play goes, C plus for me. What about you, Mike?
I would comparative to Nintendo's prior online efforts, I would give this a B. I think the online the Virtual Console stuff has been well handled for the most part. I personally don't think that stuff is too expensive. You get a song on iTunes for 99 cents, and that's 3 minutes of enjoyment. You get an NES game for, you know, $5, and that's going to be at least an hour of enjoyment. So I think, it, you know, the parity there is...
Whoa, you're playing some good NES games.
You might play it more than once. But anyways, I don't think... Overall, I don't think the price structure is too terrible. The selection has been all right. They are at least bringing out 3 games a week, you know, even if maybe only one of them is ever that good. But in the online play itself... It's there, which is all I can really say, that congratulations to Nintendo, you actually have games that play online, and I think that's as good as anything they can do. But when you compare it to the other offerings out there, like the PlayStation Network and especially Xbox Live, the whole system's like a D.
Yeah.
Even the Virtual Console stuff is alright. It's good. I can get the same games on Xbox Live Arcade for less with better graphics. I can get Sonic the Hedgehog for $5 or for $6, $8 on the Virtual Console, or for like $5 on Xbox Live Arcade with better graphics running in, you know, progressive scan in widescreen and all this stuff.
Right. Also, they add content.
You actually get progressive scan on virtual.
Yeah, you do. Well, you do.
And I've heard there are emulation problems on Live Arcade.
Yeah.
Apparently like some Sonic bad too. Ports for Konami games especially. There's some very, really bad...
But I am also getting, you know, I'm getting additional content. I'm getting friends list support, stuff like that. I'm getting achievements, which sounds stupid, but I really like those achievements. Yeah. You know, it's just, and on top of that, I am getting it for less. So I think, you know, that blows a big hole in the Virtual Console boot. But then, like, Xbox Live itself as an online platform for playing games is absolutely amazing. Yeah. It's so perfect at what it does. And, you know, Nintendo is nowhere there in the Stone Age comparatively. Like, you know, we're playing video games with, you know, tin can and strings on the Wii.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What about you, Johnny?
I think I'd have to give it a B. I'm extremely pleased with Virtual Console. I think they've done a pretty fantastic job, and a lot of the things that we worried about early on have not really borne out. I mean, they've really corrected a lot of our worries. Not, I wouldn't even say problems, but they've addressed so many things that we all hoped for. You know, the first few months of Virtual Console, everybody's thinking, well, what if they did this? What if they did this? What if they did this? And they've actually done all that stuff. So I'm...
Except
I really
the only thing they haven't done
think
is
of anything
let us
to
play
complain
games,
about
two-player games online against people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's a major restructuring, and
I don't know. You know what? The emulators that are coded by people in their spare time for free can do it.
Have you actually tried any of that, Mike? Because they don't work well.
But you know,
there are real problems with that stuff. Anyway, as far as online play, yeah, I have to congratulate Nintendo for
having it.
Well,
especially
at
one point they said there wouldn't be any third-party games that played online in the first year, and Guitar Hero 3 came out, and it does.
True.
So that's a plus. That's a plus.
Right, and the EA Sports games do, and I'm glad that EA Sports games have found a way to get around the whole friend codes issue, but most games still have friend codes, and the really huge problem with that I understand why Nintendo uses friend codes. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand why. What I don't understand is why you have separate friend codes for your system and each individual game. There should be one friend code that works for every game you buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That separate, basically, all it does is identify you as a player, as the owner of that system.
That's too persistent,
so,
Johnny.
If you're a friend...
It's too persistent.
What? Too persistent.
Yeah,
that doesn't.
I know. Well, that's what Nintendo is saying. Like, why? What's the difference at that point? What's the difference between a friend code and a gamer tag? There's no difference except one is numbers.
But you only have one for the system, and you can send messages on the system. That's Nintendo's not saying it's too persistent. I think there's just some weird technical problem combined with a very weird bureaucratic problem. And again, I don't have a huge problem with friend codes, but we shouldn't have a separate friend code for every single fucking game.
And especially, you know,
that is what rubs me wrong. If there was only one per system, I'd be like, cool, not a big deal.
You know, it wouldn't be as bad if you had like a username for each game, because then at least, you know, it would be something memorable, not a string of 12 digits that no one can remember.
That's how it is on PSN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's just it's a very poorly managed system. And because of that, even though they claim, you know, they can claim that they do free online and all these games have online, not many people are going to be playing Guitar Hero 3 online for Wii. They're just not. It's too much trouble.
Yeah. I'm much happier paying $50 a year to play games online on my Xbox. So much happier.
It's so, it takes hours. I've literally, at this point, I've spent at least an hour entering friend codes for Guitar Hero 3, and I still have yet to play a single game of Guitar Hero 3 with a friend. That is not encouraging, man.
Yeah.
It's a, that is a pathetic system, you know? So I'm just, I'm really fed up with it. It's just a, it makes no sense whatsoever. Like, again, if it was one friend code, that would be cool.
It's not.
But a different one for every game is completely insane.
All right, well, what about you, Greg?
Well, I'd have to say probably almost grudgingly give it a B minus just because of how much fun I've had with Virtual Console. I've just, you know, I mean, there was a period after Twilight Princess where it was, the Wii was getting very idle, as I've heard many people say, but then Virtual Console really sort of brought it back into regular use. And I've just had a ton of fun with that. But I mean, with the whole online strategy thing, it's, I can't fathom it at all. It is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, when you consider that, you know, Metroid Prime Hunters on the DS has a far better online sort of framework than any Wii game.
Yeah.
It's really, that is a huge indictment. And the thing is, I mean, with that game, at least there's some sort of...
That game came out 2 years
ago. Yeah, I know. I mean, there's some rationalization for friend codes because you have voice chat. You know, so it's like, well, if you didn't have the friend code, you know, you could have the usual scary paedophile or whatever, you know, sinister person is going to be out there. But, and not only that, but you had the rivals thing, which was kind of like adding a friend, except it didn't have voice chat, so you could just add it without a code.
Yeah, so it's just how awesome, like, was that, you know? Like,
so it's just, if you enjoyed playing against that person, you know, you didn't use cheap tactics or whatever, you just said, oh, I'll add him. And then you didn't have to enter a code, you just added. But, okay, you couldn't do voice chat. But, you know, you could do that with your friends. It, there was some sort of rational kind of progression there from just, like, random matches to rival matches to friend matches. And you had the voice chat. But, like, you know, take something like Mario Strikers Charged. There's no communication in that game whatsoever. There's no customization in that game whatsoever. Mm. So what could you possibly do to sort of offend
someone's going to line somebody. His guys up on the field so they look like a penis? What? I don't know.
Exactly. It's totally retarded. There's no justification whatsoever.
Right. Interesting to know, I was talking to Mike Gammon about him. It was him and Dan Blow were playing Italian Wars again. My cell phone's going off.
Just start again.
Hold on a second. Evan. Hey, I'm in the middle of doing RFN. Let me call you back. Yeah, doing it right now.
Did he get the game?
Did he get it?
Did you get Mario Galaxy? You did. You got it.
He got it.
Johnny and the new UK guy, Greg. You know what? Maybe we should do like a special on it. Yeah. We'll do. Later.
All right, let's just keep going.
Okay. Okay, that was interesting. Anyway. Well, I can't hear anything. Okay.
No,
my headphone was, like, not in the thing. Anyway, okay. So I was talking to Mike Gammon, who was playing Dan Bloodworth, and there's no voice chat in Battalion Wars 2, so they were furiously IMing each other while playing.
How ridiculous is that? Like, come on, Nintendo.
Like, and he was just like, it was.
Is that?
That's true. Yeah, they were just totally. They were like, they were on AIM, and they had their weird, you know, they were playing right next to their laptops, and they were just like going back and forth.
Isn't there like online co-op in that game also?
Yeah. An online.
There's no communication.
I believe.
How are you supposed to?
Yeah, you can't. You can't. There's no way to communicate for co-op, and that's retarded.
I believe online is, in fact, the only multiplayer in that game.
There's no local play, which I was heartbroken by. I had some people come over like, oh, let's play Battalion Wars. And then I'm like, oh, there's no local play.
Well, you can... Yeah, and you can't play it against Mike because he doesn't have a copy of the game.
And, like, there's not even LAN play. Like, how stupid is that?
Well, there's no. How are you going to
do? He does live in a dorm, though.
You could do like a wireless LAN, I guess.
Yeah, that would be
kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't think it has that capability, or at least they've never.
GameCube has LAN play.
Yeah,
but that had like an adapter, didn't it, or something?
Yeah. Well, there's really no difference between going over a LAN and going over internet, except for the matchmaking service.
Yeah. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, the game would definitely have to be coded for it specifically.
But anyway, it would just be a cool feature.
But LAN play only really matters to people in dorms. Outside of that market, no one uses LAN play.
Well, it matters to me.
Yes.
All right, well, moving on. So, Greg, what would you give the service overall again?
B-minus, really, because the Virtual Console's been great, even with the PAL issues, which are really annoying, but, you know, they put in a punishment up on there, so, you know.
There you go.
Bonus
points,
Like I said, the online, totally infuriating. I just think if it doesn't have customization and it doesn't have communication, there's no justification for friend codes. There isn't. There is no basis for it, so don't do it.
Total agreement. Moving on to marketing, I think this is really where Nintendo has shined, and I will give them an A for marketing.
I would also give them an A because this is the first time that I've ever seen Nintendo stick with one marketing campaign for a year. A whole year. We've had one marketing
campaign.
That's
a good point.
I'm amazed.
The GameCube marketing effort was terrible. All right, that Pikmin commercial where the dude orders around a bunch of midgets to get him hot dogs, that's stupid. That's stupid, and it bothers me. It actively makes me dislike the game because of the commercial.
Right.
I actually saw on TV the other day a brand new commercial for Wii Sports.
Oh yeah, they've got them every once in a while.
I've not seen that one. But
brand new, but yeah.
My biggest problem with commercials like that, which are stupid, and I hate them for all video games, whether it's Nintendo or not, is that they don't tell you anything about the game. It's like a weird like sketch comedy thing. Like, oh, that's funny.
They're trying to take the concept of the game and put it in like an abstract environment of the
real
world.
But to someone who doesn't know about the game, that they don't, they're like, well, what is this game even about? I don't care about this. But We Would Like to Play is great because it offers the best of both worlds. You get like the off camera part where, you know, you get people like playing the games and having a good time and all that stuff. But you also get footage of the game, so you actually know what they're talking about.
And on top of that, they've been using the campaign for a solid year now.
Exactly. Which would like really to play, is, which yeah. makes sense.
Nintendo launched the GameCube, and they originally had those commercials of like the people inside like the glass cube, mm-hmm. like playing, mm-hmm. like you know, experiencing like the games.
Yeah.
And then those vanished like within like 2 months of the system launching, and they were on another marketing campaign.
It was like,
and
who
then
are
they were
you?
Then they were doing Who Are You for a while, and then they were doing this, and then they were doing that, and they could never nail down the campaign.
Do you remember like the psychiatrist commercials?
No, I don't remember.
Where they were talking about like the guy's there, and he's seeing on a thing, and the psychiatrist's like, he's like sometimes I'm in a field and I'm cutting down and I'm clicking gems. It was an ad for Wind Waker, and she's like, who are you? And it's just this whole psychiatrist thing. Yeah, it's so horrible.
And that you know, Who Are You stuck around for what? Maybe 6 months. Maybe I don't know.
It wasn't that good to begin with. I will say I'm gonna have to give their marketing maybe a B or even a B minus, because although they've done exceptionally well with the casual Blue Ocean market or whatever, the marketing for traditional gamers has been really pathetic.
Almost non-existent. Yeah,
definitely.
Almost non-existent. And it's really hurt games like Metroid Prime 3, which is one of the best games of the year and should be marketed to all the people who have Xbox 360s but don't have Wiis yet and things like that. But they just really drop the ball. I mean, they did a We Would Like to Play commercial for it, so they're marketing Metroid Prime 3 to moms, which is pointless because they're not going to buy it, and they did not buy it.
If I could remember.
But they're not marketing it to the people who would actually like
it. Wasn't it set in an airport or something?
Yeah, it was set in an airport, but the people playing it were admittedly like people who were like teenagers, early 20s, who were actually playing.
Who gathers around Metroid Prime 3 in an airport and goes, wow?
Well, the Mario Galaxy one takes place in a movie theater, so...
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't think it matters. I think the idea is that these two, you know, the two Japanese guys are bringing the Wii with them to show people. So it doesn't really matter where it occurs.
Right.
But it just felt very inappropriate for Metroid Prime 3.
I think it was odd that it was an airport, though.
They did a very different approach in Europe because they kind of did a break from the standardized ads, which is the people in the, you know, white regalia sitting there waggling for their lives, and just had it sort of more moody and kind of darkly lit, and just one person playing it by themselves, which is appropriate for Metroid.
Was this the guy who's rolling behind the chair?
It was more like that, but it wasn't as camp. It was, you know, a lot less demonstrative. Just it was showing like the grapple stuff and the, you know, the interaction with the objects. But it was a bit moodier, and I thought that was better than having the standardized approach, because you are selling it to different people. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you know.
Well, this even goes way beyond commercials. I mean, Metroid Prime 3 had some of the ugliest screenshots that I've ever seen.
I don't know how they did it.
Who takes those? What the how do you take
they
screenshots
ran them through,
that bad?
They ran
I could take a digital photo with my camera that
they ran them
through
better. Photoshop and applied the shit filter.
Ah.
Apparently. Nice. I don't get that. They also do things like they didn't announce the release of Battalion Wars 2 until a week after it came out.
Yeah, the hell?
That's pretty bizarre. They're doing things like not sending copies of games to the media for reviews until 2 days before the games come out. And maybe a game like Mario doesn't even need good reviews to sell. But a game like Metroid Prime 3 kind of does. And we didn't get... We have a little internal shipping here, but I did not get my review copy of that game until the day that all of our readers were getting it. And the problem with that is that hardcore gamers... the traditional gamers do read reviews, and they do care. And so if you're going to market to that group, part of it is getting the games out to reviewers. Totally. And they've done a very poor job of that in the past few months.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've got a new head of marketing now. They just hired, can't remember her name, but it's going to be interesting to see if things change under her. I think, honestly, they're not going to change very much, because while Reggie is the president now, he was originally hired as the head of marketing. He's still going to have a lot of say over that department.
And I have to say, Reggie's done a fantastic job since he's gotten on board.
Yeah, it's still very much, you know, his thing.
It's hard to say. It's really difficult to say what Reggie is directly responsible for and what he's not.
Well, we know he was responsible for getting DS in America first, and as well as Wii.
I don't think, you know, getting him there
first.
Yeah, but
that ended up not making much
difference. As far as marketing is concerned, the entire marketing effort for Nintendo of America is put on Nintendo of America's shoulders. And there's not really much input from the other markets, clearly, because each market has its own marketing needs. Mm-hmm. Reggie is the impetus for Nintendo's new wave of marketing, and he's certainly done a much better job than the previous tenants of his position.
Sure, I mean, if you look at his past job as far as marketing, he's very, very comfortable with his demographic. I mean,
yeah,
he's worked with
VH1 was, I think, where he was right. He was with VH1 or Guinness right before he was with Nintendo.
No, he was with
Guinness and also Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut,
ago.
Guinness, and VH1. He was responsible for bringing I Love the 80s from the UK.
Yeah, and look at, you know, he knows that the VH1 market is pretty much the Wii market. Like, it's the same group of people.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people from kind of high school. I think VH1 maybe more of a more college-y. I don't know. Which is kind of ironic, I think. But and then it goes up. The demographic for VH1 skews way higher than MTV.
Yeah, it goes into, like, early 30s.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's the exact same market he's marketing the Wii to. And, you know, he took I Love the 80s over. He turned VH1 from a floundering music network into the pop culture network.
A nostalgia channel.
I mean, you know, it's a totally different channel now, but you can't argue with the numbers. You know, the ratings are way higher.
Sure. And I think he and the other people at Nintendo Marketing have done great for the casual market, but I think the thing that they promised not to do, which is abandon the casual gamers in a marketing sense, they really have. And they need to correct that. They need to be catering to both groups on a somewhat equal basis, and that would help games like Metroid Prime 3 a lot, which still has not sold that well. And that's a real shame. They were like, we have big hopes for this. We're thinking it's going to do way better than Metroid Prime 2 Echoes, and we're going to get moms playing it, and it just didn't happen. It didn't happen because they didn't
I think
it
will do better than Echoes, but I don't think it'll outsell the first Prime.
No, of course not.
I think it already has done better than Echoes, but just barely. But yeah, I think it'll have some legs.
And also, better than Echoes really isn't like a... It's not really a positive statement.
Echoes... I think Echoes barely made it to a million.
No,
Echoes did less than a million.
Yeah, it did well
less. It's like half a million, maybe. Yeah. So, in order for Corruption to have good legs, especially this holiday season, it needs to be remarketed, as they've done for a lot of other games. You still see commercials for WarioWare and stuff like that. And that's cool, but they need to do that for Metroid also, and it needs to be better marketing than they had the first
time. So, alright, so moving on to Greg.
Yeah, I would say marketing A-, mainly because, I mean, obviously what they've done, how the hell they've sold it to some of these people, I think is nothing short of hypnosis in some cases. They've really done something special there. But the minus really is because I think they've taken, especially it would seem in America, a more sort of a homogenous approach Whereas, you know, when you're going to have this sort of big tent with all these different kinds of gamers in, you should have more specialized marketing within that.
Sure.
Which, you know, pretty well manifested in the Metroid Prime thing. They really haven't marketed that well at all in America, as far as I can see, although it's not as if it's done great business in Europe either.
Definitely. Well, moving on to our last little topic here. I think this is going to be the most of a bitch fest of all of these. We've already been bitching a lot, but this is going to be where it gets dark. Responsiveness to user base. I'll start by saying C-D+. Because if you call the market, and I say this with a certain bias because I'm of the market that they're not looking at. Yeah, exactly. If you're looking at the market of, like, alpha moms and people who, like, really dig Wii Sports and only Wii Sports, then, yeah, I guess they're doing a good job. I mean, there's not really much to respond to. They're pretty much...
Exactly. If you buy the system and you only play the game that it comes with, there's nothing to respond to.
They're pretty
much
taking the line, you know, hook, line, and sinker. Like, they're just, you know, anything Nintendo puts out, they're just on there. And they don't really...
And they'll buy Wii Fit, probably.
Exactly.
You know,
so, really, I mean, if...
By the end of the system's lifespan, they will own 5 games, maybe.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you're of that market, then I guess you don't really have any problems with Nintendo. But if you're of the hardcore audience, Nintendo is just frustrating and annoying and just makes your head hurt. So that's, as far as I go, D+, C-, maybe.
I would say overall, it's a C+, because they are doing a very good job at, you know, responding to the new market, but the old market has been almost, you know, I say I'm a little hesitant to say it, but it's almost been completely left in the dust. Like, you know, they've set sail for the Blue Ocean and they're not turning back, and
mm-hmm.
they're still, you know, throwing buckets of chum out the back to keep us following them, but,
sure.
You know, that's about it.
That's quite a metaphor there.
So what about you, Johnny?
I think in terms of, again, Virtual Console, they've been very responsive to the user base. The people who are in charge of Virtual Console have clearly paid attention to what people want. You know, we make a big clamor over things like Sin and Punishment and import games, and they provide. So we say things like, well, they really should bring out Mario 3 in time for Mario Galaxy, and they do it. And I think they actually are listening, and I think user feedback is a pretty big factor in what they do on Virtual Console, and I wish they would extend that to the rest of Wii, because in terms of things like online functionality or maybe usage of the SD card, I think a lot of the times when people have complaints and legitimate complaints about the way Wii works, the people at Nintendo kind of respond to it in a very crass way. Like, people are complaining about running out of room on their system memory.
Just delete it, you know.
The answer is, well, it's like your refrigerator. You take things out and you put things in. It's a very condescending, dismissive attitude about legitimate technical concerns that obviously the average Blue Ocean consumer doesn't give a shit about SD cards. But there are people who do, including a lot of people who've already spent money on these things and basically can't use them. So we're pissed off at it, you know. We want something to be done about it, and not only we're not even getting a okay, we'll work on that. We're getting a just don't worry about it. It's not a problem, and it is a problem.
It's not like
and that extends to a few other topics as well. I mean, it's minor stuff on an individual basis, but when you collect that stuff together, it's kind of a poor attitude that Nintendo has in response to these things.
All right, so what about you, Greg?
I'd go with a straight up C on this one. Like I said, Virtual Console, in some cases, they've been very responsive. Obviously, in Europe, we have this big problem where a lot of the games are exact recreations of their versions in the 80s and 90s, which were heavily bordered, the sound was slow and all that, and they haven't really responded to that. So that's, you know, they haven't been universally responsive for the Virtual Console in that case. But, you know, the import games is a big deal. The storage stuff I think is just really, you know, annoying, and I think the core problem is that they seem to think that their core group is just such a bunch of zealots that will bitch and will bitch and will bitch and then will buy it anyway. So it's basically, why spend money on appeasing people that don't need to be appeased? But I don't know whether that's true. I think, you know, there is going to be
kind of true.
It's half true. I mean, it's true of some, but not all.
Yeah.
you know, imagine, you know, if Nintendo was fixing all these problems, I might not even own an Xbox right now, but I needed, you know, I needed to supplement my habit because I wasn't getting enough out of the Wii, so I bought the Xbox.
Exactly, I think that's true. Like, I mean, certainly, you know, I haven't really owned an alternative system since the Mega Drive, but, you know, like, I would definitely want a 360 at this point, and that's not really Nintendo's fault as much as it is, you know, the merit in the 360's lineup, but it doesn't help matters.
Definitely not, definitely not. Well, all right, guys, let's go on into kind of our overall feelings of the console, you know. They say that a console is more than the sum of its parts, and let's hope that's true in the case of the Wii. But for me, my overall experience with having a Wii since I think I've had it since about January is that it's kind of a solid C, in that it's basically been kind of mediocre with spots of greatness. Because I've definitely had times with the Wii where I've like, this is amazing, I'm having such a great time with it, but they're kind of just sprinkled out throughout the months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I'd give it a B- overall, because I think the Virtual Console has really stood up and carried this system for a good chunk of the first year, and you know, overall the games are good, there's some really good ones. I really loved SSX Blur, I thought it was really great.
I liked it.
But, you know, some other games. After that, that was January, and then I didn't buy anything until Super Paper Mario, and that was, like, April.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Totally. What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'd probably say a C or a C+, because I'm just not playing Wii as much as I would like to be. And it's to the point where sometimes I'll turn it on and just go mess with everybody votes or something, just to feel like I'm playing my Wii and having
fun
with it.
Feel like you're getting something out of it,
That's not really what I want to be doing with it. I want to be playing games, and that's improving now, I think. I think the curve is improving as far as game releases and quality games that I'm interested in playing. Still, we're looking back, not forward. And looking back on this past year, I really didn't play my Wii that often. When I did, it was for a week or two at a time, and then there'd be months where I didn't even turn it on. So, yeah, I'd probably go with a C. And that's also combined with the whole responsiveness and, you know, some issues like that. But yeah, there are many, 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 many weeks where the only thing I did on my Wii all week was turn it on, download a game, play it, write something about it, and then never play that game.
And if you weren't writing about it, you know, you wouldn't have even done any of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, there were very few Virtual Console games that I bought just because I wanted to buy them.
All right, so what about you, Greg?
I would have to go with the C+, very much, especially, you know, looking back at the year, it's not that great. I mean, we're sitting on the avalanche right now, aren't we? Mario Galaxy is probably just going to be so good that it's going to erase a lot of our problems and... there's going to be a lot of good stuff, you know, coming from third parties. Well, we've had Takawiki, not in Europe, obviously. Plenty of other games that's coming along, and then you'll have like Mario Kart, Smash Brothers early next year. I mean, you know, it's really going to get going. But looking back, I'd say the quality of Zelda and Metroid, you know, is obviously big. The Virtual Console is good, but online and some of the responsiveness, not so much. So I'd say C+.
Sure. All right. Well, guys, that was quite a healthy discussion on the first year of the Wii. Hopefully, by next year, we'll be a lot happier, and we can give it a solid B or maybe even an A. Who knows? What do you think? You know, all of our listeners, tell us what you think. Give us your own personal report cards to the Wii by sending that to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com, and we'll talk about this in more detail perhaps next week. Also, send your crazy, weird emails to Mike's Crazy Mailbag. Also at rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. What's the password this week, Mike?
It's Plastic Cup Politics.
Plastic Cup Politics.
What?
I don't know what that means.
It's a song by one of my favorite bands I'm going to see tonight.
We should make the password Sista Soldier.
Soldier Boy.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
No. Sista Soldier moment. It's a political thing. It's really fun.
All right. So yeah, also you can head on over to iTunes and subscribe and review the show. Haven't seen too many reviews in the last week or so get those coming. Also, Dig the Podcast. There's going to be a link on the news post at the site where you can click on that. Dig the Podcast. Good times. And yeah, guys, I think we're done. All right, folks.
Sweet.
See you next week.
Have a good one.
Farewell.
this is Bert Fussell Jones. The L stands for lucky. You know what pisses me off? Taking things for granted. I was at the local EB Games here in Sasquatch County today, and I walked in there and said, "Hey man, I want to buy that Mario Galaxy." He said, "You got a reservation?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, you sure are lucky. I got one more left. We just got them in today." You know what? That made me realize just what a lucky feller I am. I mean, every time I go into McDonald's, they got cheeseburgers right there waiting for me. I never been to a car lot that didn't have cars. And every time I go to Walmart, miraculously, they got the dog food. That's what I go in there for. But you know what? It's not just me that's lucky. I got to thinking, if that store didn't have Mario, I would have had to go buy it somewhere else. So I reckon that store guy was pretty lucky too, seeing as how he just happened to have the very product I'd brung money to buy. Alright then, this was Brufus.